Welcome back to What It's Really Like to Be an Entrepreneur. I'm Vincent A. Lancey.
And I'm Haley Altman.
I'm excited to launch another episode for you all and bring on another guest with tons of firsthand experience. That's the sound of you investing in your future. Let's go. Whether you're already an entrepreneur or looking to start your journey tomorrow, or just someone who needs a little extra motivation to get through the day, this is the perfect podcast for you. Each week, I will interview a different entrepreneur from across the globe. I will continue to offer episodes in all industries to provide you with many different perspectives. You never know which motivational journey will inspire you most. Each guest will take you through their story and help you learn from their successes and lessons learned. If you enjoyed today's episode, please rate the show 5 stars and continue listening by subscribing. My guest on the show today is a true entrepreneur in the sense that she created something out of a need. After spending 10 years at some of the top transactional law firms in the country, today's guest realized that clients selected legal counsel for the value that they could bring to the client in addition to the technical legal skills. As she looked for ways to showcase both of those things, she found that there was a necessity for a resource that could easily allow her to structure her deal-by-deal workflow better and better prioritize the work she was doing to showcase the value she brought to transactions. She set out to make mastering transactions a reality and left the legal world to launch Doxley. Doxley transforms the archaic, chaotic process of managing legal transactions into a streamlined, efficient process. Built by attorneys for attorneys, Doxley does it all in that world. Allow me to now introduce Haley Altman. Haley, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here. I love talking to entrepreneurs and sharing as much about the story and process as I can.
Well, I'm excited to learn more. Would you mind please introducing yourself to our listeners a little further and previewing your story without giving away too much of your entrepreneurial journey?
Well, I'm Haley Altman. I am now Global Director of Business Development and Strategy at a company called Latera. But I was a practicing attorney for over 10 years. I was a partner at a law firm, and I just kept seeing the same problems, and I looked to see if someone else in the world was solving them. And when I couldn't find it, I decided to do it myself. But I'm also a mom. I have 2 little girls, and I love getting to show them like what's all possible. So it's been a crazy journey.
Yeah, I'm excited to learn more about it. And you had such a great accomplishment with actually getting bought by another company. And we will dive all into that. So I think it's a great time to jump into the big 5 here, Haley. On each episode, my guest and I will go over these 5 questions to help you, the listeners, learn what it's really like to be an entrepreneur. You ready to go?
I'm ready.
Great. So when did you either realize that you weren't happy with what you were doing, or you just needed some kind of change to truly start your entrepreneurial journey? You may have just previewed it, which is perfect. So I'm excited to hear your story.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I actually loved being a lawyer. I loved the job that I was doing. I just kept running into the same kind of roadblocks. You know, when you're practicing, you have to like become a technical expert at kind of what you're doing. Like I was helping companies raise capital. I was helping venture capital funds like raise money. I was helping buy and sell companies. And so I was doing all of these things. And so in order to like grow in a law firm, you not only need the technical skills, but you also need the business development skills to bring in clients. And so I did a lot of little like kind of projects within the firm, like little internal products that would help us better sell our legal services. So I created a startup company package. And then once I had the startups, I knew that I needed to find them investments. And so I created an investor directory. How do you match people to capital better? And then the investors were like, hey, why don't you represent us as well? And so I started to have this like really good set of clients. And so I so it was great. So it's like, here's this like perfect time. Like I've got great clients. I have really wonderful colleagues. I love the firm I'm in. I was getting close to making partner. I had had my first child, but I was like working extremely late nights. And a lot of times they were at the office because so many of our processes were paper driven. And I think it was like, it all came to head at like 3 a.m, the time when all good ideas come to the front. But true. We were literally, it was like me and another colleague, we were sitting there, we had these metal accordions, and each, in the metal accordion, you have each of the file folders for representing all the documents in a deal. And you have to make sure that every signature page is in those files. And well, it's representative of what was your checklist of what all we need to accomplish. But we were missing one document in the files. So we didn't get the signature page if you didn't remember to put the document in the set.
Oh, man.
Like we had like a $30 million deal hanging in the balance of one signature page. And our client was like, I'm traveling. I can't sign tomorrow. Send it to me tonight. It's 3 a.m. We're like panicking. And we send the signature page out and we get it and the deal closes and everything's fine. But there's like this moment of panic as an attorney, like you control whether these deals can get done because you have to say when you've got everything. And I was like, this is so chaotic. This is not an enjoyable part of my work. It's not high value legal advice as to like what's the best thing for the client. It's like a critically important administrative work. And so I was just like, God, there's got to be something out there that we can buy that would make this better. And so, you know, then like being the curious person, I just like started looking and I couldn't find it. And I was like, okay, well, because I was connected into the entrepreneurial community, I went to some designers and some software company builders. And I was like, hey, what would this work? Like, could this be a thing? And they were like, really? I'm like, I don't know how this comes together. Like, could someone build this? And like, yeah, someone could build this. And so I started working on it. And then after I made partner, I told the law firm, because I tend to a lot of people want to keep it secret. And I was like, I think it's good to share and to validation. So I took the biggest risk and shared with the firm. And they were like, keep working on it. It's a great idea. And then they ended up pairing me with this venture studio. So kind of a bigger, that ended up being like a really incredibly pivotal part. But I just knew that the pain existed. I knew that all of my colleagues were feeling it. And I knew that there had to be a better way to do it so that we could serve our clients better and that we could like go home every now and then and not like the anxiety and stress of that goes into closing a deal is really overwhelming at times. We've managed $1 billion deals. Like the amount of like things that you've got to be keeping in line are so many and you carry so much weight for your clients. And so I just wanted to find a way to like make it a better experience for the lawyers and the clients.
Well, you did two things. You created value and you filled a need. And now you're thinking you create this app. The opportunity cost, if this app didn't exist, you're saying you're spending the whole night at the office. We're now quick, easy, done, and you're home with your kids.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I was just like, you know, it's just like you want to get things done. You want to be able to do things. And even if I had to work late, I could be doing it at home because I didn't have to have printers and scanners. And you know, our documents are 400 pages sometimes. Like you can't just sit there and end up with an at-home printer, like manage it all. So we wanted to just give people the ability to like do the work that they needed to do from wherever they need to do it, which becomes like right now a really important part when we all can't be in the office. And so we're really just saying like, you should be able to work wherever you need to be. And like, you should be able to get the things done that are core and critical to your job. And so then it was just like, at that point it was like, but the, when I worked with High Alpha and they decided to move forward with the company, the original proposal was that I stay at the law firm and join as the board member. And that I just made equity partner. I was really happy in my job and my career and what I was going to do next. And so I was going to let them find a CEO to run it. And then I just realized I was spending every night thinking about it and what I wanted to do and what we could do. And then, so I decided to resign, which was like, I resigned 3 months after making equity partner at the law firm, which is like the ultimate goal. And so people, I think, thought I was like, what is she doing? Like this. And I was like, you know what? I just feel so convicted that this is something that needs to happen. And even though I'm going to miss working with all of my clients and like doing all the work I did, you know, it was just something that I couldn't pass up doing.
It happened. And you were really passionate about it. So that's why it's such a great thing you did. Sometimes people go into things with one foot out the door. You left an incredibly remarkable position that you worked essentially your whole adult life for. But things happen, and you worked hard and created something else that created value. But I think that for a company also at the scale that you guys do business with, the amount of cost you're saving on ink as well and paper, I'm sure they're not too sad about.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you look at all
a lot of benefits,
provide value, and there's like so many different like costs. It's like you've got the like improving your realization rate, things that you don't have to write off now because like you don't have to account for this time of printing. Printing all this stuff. And honestly, the associate retention, like if you spend all of your time doing mundane, like tasks that aren't true high value legal work, like you're not as happy in your job and you don't have as much time to focus on the things that are going to advance your career. And so like, we try to look at things from, kind of a bigger perspective. We want to solve like a specific pain point, but we know it has like we can have a broader impact if we kind of think a little bit more comprehensively about what are people doing and what is causing them like stress and pain and anxiety.
Yeah, well, quality of life is everything now, and now companies are competing with each other based on the little things they're even offering their employees. But Haley, now that you've been on this entrepreneurial path for a while, what would you say one or two of the most difficult parts are for you?
So I think there's so many things that are difficult. I mean, I had a different other career. And you learn how to do it. I knew when I woke up every day, like I may have had a ton of things to do and there may have been many curveballs that would come throughout the day, but I knew how to handle pretty much every step. Like I knew how to do my job. And I switched careers and I went from a very kind of like individual focus. Like I could draft the documents and yes, I had an entire team that I worked with and that I, had deal teams I worked with, but you really did a lot of individual client work and collaboration. To a situation where I need to manage an entire team, sometimes in areas that I don't even understand, terms that I had to learn, like inbound versus outbound marketing, demand gen, like what is that? Like what is a customer success team? It's not just a support number that you call. Like what does it mean to truly get people to adopt technology? What are sales cycles? Like just so much information that I had no idea about. But what I think, and so like that you learn, like I had by working with like some good mentors and things like that, I was able to really get a good understanding. I read books in every major functional area of the company just so I could orient myself as to like what, people were doing. And then I hired people that filled all of the key gaps that I had. So you can do a lot of that. And that's a lot of what you figure out. But one of the toughest lessons that I learned in legal, we do a lot of work on our own, so we don't always know how to delegate or manage other people. And I think when you want to start a company, whether you have had a career or you're new, you've seen a problem and you want to solve it, you may be earlier in your career, you may not have truly managed people. And so there's a lot that goes into trusting someone to do something, to like giving it off of your plate. No CEO, even if you work around the clock 24 hours a day, can do everything for a company to make it successful. You have to trust your team. You've got to empower them to execute. You've got to provide the level of trust so that they come to you with problems. And that's sort of like that, those skills in terms of understanding like how to properly like motivate teams, make them believe in what you're doing. And that was probably one of the benefits, is that people understood what we were trying to do and they really believed it. I thought I would have to find lawyers to do it. I didn't. I was the only lawyer. And
amazing. Yeah,
it's just like you've got to motivate. If people see your passion, they get excited about it and you frame the problem in a way that they understand and they can get behind. But that ability to trust them and say, I'm handing this over to you and you're going to execute against it. But to do that, you actually have to show them where they need to go. You've got to set out the criteria of like what's going to be successful. And like in the beginning, like that was a really like hard thing for me to do. I was used to like kind of holding on to stuff. So that was, I think, the first one that was really a lesson they had to learn. It also combines with those crucial conversations, like having to deliver the negative feedback in a really constructive way. Because, like, I may be able to work in a firm with 100 different associates, and I can work with this associate on this project. And if it didn't go well, I can work out with this associate on the next project. That doesn't work with, like, your VP of sales. Like, you've got to find a way to work together. Otherwise, like, you have to, like, have to make changes. That's a big, lesson to learn, like how to communicate, empower, and provide constructive feedback. I think the other big lesson that I learned is that everything takes a lot longer than you might think, and you may have to pivot. You may have to, you may have a great plan, or you think you've got a really great plan of how you're going to launch a new feature, how you're going to improve the sales process, and you have to know that, like, you may have to, like, pivot, like, 3 or 4 times with something that, like, even the best, like, thought out, like, plan is going to go through, like, 18 iterations. And so you've got to be prepared that, like, not everything you do is going to be successful, and that you have to, like, steel yourself mentally against it. Like, you're going to have insane roller coaster days where you have, like, the highest high and the lowest low. And they're literally going to be between, like, the highest high was at 10 a.m. and the lowest low was at, like, 2. And you're just like, what am I doing? Like, oh my God, this is a lot. And so it's this mental toughness and resilience and, like, relentlessness that you have to, like, kind of fortify yourself with, because every day is going to be something you didn't expect and a pivot that you need to have the confidence to make.
I loved everything about that answer. I loved how you tied in the most difficult parts with your lessons. That was amazing. You touched on how every employee is different. I think that's a super important lesson, because introvert, extrovert is just the beginning of differences for employees. And if you learn how one person works best and cater to their strengths, the whole company can improve. I also loved how you said nothing works the first time. And that's the truth, because sometimes you're doing things 5, 10 times, tweaking it bit by bit to finally get it right. And another thing I wanted to add, a little different from corporate too, is entrepreneurship. You're by yourself for the majority of the day. When you're in a law firm with, you said, maybe 100 associates, I'm sure that was a bit of a transition as well.
Yeah. I mean, here's a little bit strange. So, but it's different, but in a slightly different way. So in the law firm, I had my own office with, like, a door, and, like, sometimes you'd be like, you close the door and you, like, focus in on stuff, but you can go to people's offices and whatever. When we started Doxley, there were 4 of us sitting around a table in a conference room. And I was like, I was used to having my own personal space and, like, my own place to, like, think and, like, have conversations and, like, just, like, you know, like, just think through things. And it's like, that sort of stuff, like, doesn't exist. Like, you, when you're a startup, you're like, this is where we are, this is what we're going to do, we're going to, like, figure it out. And so it was like, sometimes it was like finding that separate, like, mental space where I could, like, kind of separate. But then you're like, also, I'm with the same 4 people, 5 people, then it was up to, like, 10. And, like, you know, it's like, you're like, okay, well, now we're together all the time, and I need, like, you know, it's a lot to get used to. I think it's a lot to get used to as to be the CEO. You feel like a lot is on your shoulders. Like, I had investors, I knew the investment community, like, I represented a number of them, I've worked with them in different contexts. So here I am, this is my idea. It was the first idea that was ever brought to High Alpha. So the stress of, like, they're trusting me as the first outside company idea. So they put that, then the investors that were investing in it. And then I have all these employees that are working for me and believing in me, and these early customers that are going with what we do. And, like, there's a lot, like, in, you know, I had a lot of stress of, like, managing a client. Like, I want to do good for their deal. I want to give them the best results. I want them to raise capital. I want them to have the exit they hope for. And you want that, but, like, the pressure of all of that being on you and, like, people, like, looking to you, and we were never one person. The company didn't, you know, was just me. Like, even if my name was the one that was out there and I was the one speaking, like, we were a team. But as the CEO, you feel like it all, like, just rests with you. And that's a that's a mental shift that's really hard to like wrap your head around.
Well, yeah, when you're at a company working, you're working on your role. Meanwhile, if you own the company, you have to embody every single role in the firm.
I mean, I think the only other thing I'd say about that is like on the mental health side, like the biggest thing of being a CEO is finding that community to like have those people that you can trust. Like we all live in a world where we have to present like our best like side of every situation. We want to project confidence in everything we're doing, that the company is doing well. You're communicating to investors, you're communicating to your team. But you've got to find those people that you can have conversations with, whether it's other CEOs or other people like kind of within the industry that you're in, where you can have like real conversations. And that was one of the biggest lessons I learned, was that like in like this is a very challenging, demanding job. It's very isolating. It's very isolating. You feel so much pressure on yourself. And whether, as much as people say it's not just all on you, it feels that way. And to find people that you can talk to say, okay, I ran into this problem. What should I do? I just need to tell someone that like, this is what's going on, or this is where we are from a cash burn perspective. And what do I do? Or like, you know, it's like you finding that community is important. And like, it can be CEOs in different areas and different industries and things like that. But yeah, finding that is so important. But probably one of the biggest things that I don't know if it's a lesson, but it's one of the biggest reasons that we are successful. And we sold within 3 years of starting.
Amazing.
We launched and we sold within 3 years. Like that is very fast. We had a great exit. We did not have to exit. We had customers. We were positioning for a Series A. We didn't have to sell. But we had multiple offers. And so you kind of have to take it serious.
Yeah.
But we had multiple offers because, you know, we wanted to build like a trusted brand, and we wanted to be a thought leader, and we wanted to, you know, I just focused on building connections, not because I wanted them to like do something for me, but because I wanted to understand their business, how we fit into their business, what, how we could work together. So when we got the first offer, I went to 4 other CEOs that I knew and was like, I always told you I'd be transparent about where we were and what we were doing. And we've had these conversations. I'm letting you know that, like, you know, it's like these things could be happening. And like, what's your interest in terms of how we work together going forward? And it led to lots of really good conversations. But I had built relationships with them where I wasn't asking a bigger company to just like help me figure out how to sell my own product. It was like building real relationships and building this like kind of community and network within my industry. And that network, it's sometimes so easy to say, I'm going to stay in the office and I'm just going to focus on my company. I'm going to do everything to build my company. You miss like the entire like world of like, if you can build relationships, those relationships become so important as you kind of grow your business. So I think that's a lesson that I kind of learned when I practiced. Like, if you're going to build a book of business, you've got to build relationships before you need the clients. You've got to, like, you can't just say, you need to work with me. Like, it's more about these relationships. And I think people want to skip that step. They want to just jump into, well, you can help me and I'll help you. And it's really more of like, a successful business is like building relationships with your customers, your employees, and honestly, the community and industry that you're in.
Yeah, well, if you want to sustain, you have to treat people right and worry about those relationships. Prior relationships will yield a solid bottom line if you do the little things right. And you highlighted a lot on meaningful conversations, which I really enjoyed in that part. But if you could choose to have a conversation and learn from any entrepreneur, dead or alive, who would you choose?
Oh, that's such a tough one. I mean, you know, you'd always want to talk to like someone like Steve Jobs, like who's like a maniacal focus on like doing something incredible. Like, how do you have that sort of like focus and like drive to create amazing things? And you know, I honestly like, you know, I listened to that, How It's Made, I think with, the founder of Spanx and her whole story of how
Sarah Blakely is incredible. Yes.
Unbelievable. I would love to sit down with her and like understand how she built everything she did. I've like listened to her, you know, like the conversations, and it's amazing. But I did have a real benefit in learning. So in Indiana, there's a company called Exact Target, and it went from like a baby, you know, kind of an idea to selling to Salesforce for $2.5 billion. And Scott Dorsey was the founder, and he was the founder of High Alpha. And so I feel like I got blessed with one of the best, like, kind of mentor, like, kind of experiences by being part of High Alpha and Scott, and then like his partners in the fund, Mike Fitzgerald, Christian Anderson, and Eric Tobias. Like, they all had all these different experiences, but like being able to be a part of that and like learn from them was like so amazing. Like, here's someone from Indiana who created a company and reached that level without ever leaving, without ever moving the company to a code. Wow. Raw talent, kept like hired so many people from Indiana universities, and like built something in the community, and like literally would be willing to sit down with me and be like, okay, Haley, like, I'm going to listen in on a demo, and like, I'll give you feedback. And it was just like, so that was like, I mean, there's so many people I'd love to learn from, but I feel pretty lucky in terms of who I got to learn from.
Yeah, it's incredible. I truly believe conversations with entrepreneurs do everything. Entrepreneurs, everybody can agree in this world that we're always trying to help each other, and through our successes and our lessons learned, just like this podcast, my goal is just to help people through these stories. But you're such an ambitious person. I'm really curious for these answers here. Where do you see yourself in your entrepreneurial endeavors in the future? We're going to do 1 year and 5 years. Let's start 1 year from today.
Oh, I mean, 1 year from today, I will probably still be with Latera. So we sold Doxley to Latera in August of 2019. I was the general manager of transaction management when I started managing the kind of the transaction management business. They bought two companies in the same space, and I was kind of managing the London company and mine and working to combine them together. I've since been promoted to the global director of business development and strategy. And so honestly, right now, my goal is to like kind of think holistically. It's a much bigger company. We've got like, it's a massive footprint, and we have like a whole like suite of products. And so I'm really lucky to be involved in the strategy of how we move forward. You know, how do we position ourselves if we're going to have an ultimate exit? And so for the next year, I will be like heads down, like figuring out what we're going to do to continue to grow this business. What are we going to buy? What are we going to build? How are we going to advance our plans? Like, so that will be like for sure in the next year, that will be my focus. Once we've exited, I think so for 5 years from now, honestly, I think I've always seen myself kind of returning to the venture capital / private equity space. Like,
you missed the rush.
I do, but part of what I loved about being an attorney was working with a lot of different companies to help ideas come to fruition. And I think that being in somewhere in the investment ecosystem, whether that's a venture studio or a fund or something like that, being able to work with a lot of entrepreneurs and help them realize the dreams that I got to realize, I think is, you know, what I would love to do. It's like, it ties back into like what I did as an attorney, helping companies form and helping them raise capital. Like, how do you help take great ideas and make them a reality? And so I think I will at some point return to that space. It'll probably be in legal, I think. I love the industry, and I think there's so much we can accomplish. But yeah, that, not sure, but I imagine I will not veer too far from the entrepreneurial space.
I think your work ethic and due diligence as a lawyer studying for the bar, all these things definitely aided into your early success as an entrepreneur. But I think this is a great time to get into the spotlight story. I am excited to watch all you have going on in the future. For each episode here, Haley, I share an entrepreneurial journey to inspire our listeners, and I would love to hear your take on it. For today's episode, I will introduce the entrepreneurial-related story of a name everybody knows, Tori Burke. Now, I didn't know how the brand started before this write-up. She started her career as a fashion copywriter, as she was very interested in all things fashion. I included that note because people listening on, you do have to start from lower levels to reach the top. Following a divorce from her ex-husband, who I learned was very, very wealthy, a retail tycoon, Christopher Burke, She began designing clothes in her kitchen. So a lot of people say they don't have office space, they can't start their dream. You described how you were around a desk with four people. Here she was simply in a kitchen, but it didn't take long to find celebrity endorsement for her. Her impressive sales figures came quickly, and she became a billionaire in under a decade. She opened her first flagship store back in 2004, so it's been some time now, in New York City. But something that definitely helped her was Oprah calling her work, quote, the next big thing in fashion. I think the millions of people watching her show, that aided her early success. But Haley, what do you like best about Tori's story?
I think I love anyone that like really has a passion for something. And despite any odds, like if you have to start in your kitchen, like when you realize there's something you want to do, you find a way to do it. And I think you don't have to have been trained to make clothes. Like that doesn't have to be the thing. I don't know how to code software. I still don't. I mean, I still feel like they're magicians. You have to have the passion and the idea and the understanding, and you have to be willing to do the work to learn. And clearly she took, you know, she had positions and she leveraged what she learned to continue to grow. And I think a lot of people, if you have an idea, think, oh, well, having the idea, I just need to get money and then everything will happen. There is so much learning that goes on in terms of, and you have to, I think, be open to the fact that when you start a company, you don't know everything and you have to be willing to learn and to get advice and to bring people in, but you have to do it all in an authentic brand. And people that build authentic brands will get recognized. And that's obviously what like tapped into Oprah, is that like she saw something, and like you make those big connections when people see the passion. Like you sometimes, like I've gone to meetings and it always surprised me when people would tell me I would pitch something or I'd be talking to them and be like, oh my God, you're so passionate about it. It's so refreshing. And I was like, what do other people say? Like someone has got to explain this to me. I don't think I'm saying something that's unusual. Like you should be excited about what you're doing. You should believe in it. You should be willing to like dedicate your kitchen table to it. Like have to believe. Like why would no anyone else believe in you if you don't have the passion for it? And I think that sometimes people just like, they think this is something that's needed and it's just a given and everyone should just accept it. And it's like, and they've developed something that's amazing and they probably did. But when you really believe that you're doing something, believe in what you do and you have that passion and you're willing to take it from, go from, you know, move up, learn, like it resonates and it catches people's attention. And I think that like being able to start from that, like kind of that center and just working and learning, like, and being passionate, I think that resonates with me.
I think that's an incredible answer. And just like all your other answers, thank you so much for coming on the show today, Haley. I know our listeners are going to see all the value in the show. I really love that last answer, but I really do enjoy in the beginning how you highlighted there was a need, there's a need, there's a need. You attacked it. And then even after getting the promotion that most people work their life career to get, you believed in yourself and you believed in your passion. If you have that confidence, anything's possible. You had the work ethic instilled from your bar experience and becoming a lawyer. So I'm very happy to see your success, but it is time for the last word. And I also do this in my other podcast series, A Mental Health Break with Vincent A. Lancey, because I want the listeners to really get to know the guests I bring on. Is there something that you would like to share that we did not get to touch on yet today?
Well, I mean, I think we touched on so many great things, but I think it's like, I think I want to like tying back into the fact that, you know, you focus so much and you do so much for people around mental health. It's such an important thing. And I think as founders of companies, it's on us to check in with our team. People need to know it's okay to talk about, like, you know, when they're struggling, when they need time, when they may need a day, when they may need an afternoon, like, and you lead by example. And if you are open with your team to say, I need to take a day. Like I just do, like, this is all stressful. Everything's so uncertain. Like I need to deal with the fact that my kids are distance learning and like they're fighting. Like that's my today thing. Like I have two daughters that are in the same room trying to like go to school and they sometimes. And so we got to separate them. But like sometimes you have to, if you're open about what you're experiencing and where you might be struggling or where you may be having a little bit of a harder time, you make it possible for your team. I think I would work all the time, and then my team would feel like they couldn't take a vacation. So I would have to make sure that they knew that they could. And so I think we as leaders, especially with all the struggles everyone is having, we have to model the behavior we hope that our teams will feel comfortable coming to us with. And so you have to be open. And I think that's really important, especially now.
I love that. Would you mind also please sharing your professional social media website, ways for our listeners to follow your endeavors, request your services?
Yeah. If you want to learn more about Litera and everything we do, it's www.litera.com. I'm also on Twitter at Haley_Altman. I'm also on LinkedIn, Haley Altman. And yeah, reach out. Happy to connect with people.
And it's social media time for the show, and we're on whichever platform you like to use. We're at What It's Really Like to Be an Entrepreneur on LinkedIn, at Your Favorite Morning Podcast on Instagram and Facebook, and at Podcasts by Lancey on Twitter, so you have updates from this show and A Mental Health Break with Vincent A. Lancey. If you check out my books, DM me. I would love to hear from you all. We have Mr. Lancey Talks Mental Health, Left 4 Dead, A Story of Redemption, and How to Transform Your Mindset When the Norm Is Changed, all are on my website now, which is vincentalancey.com. And as always, I will end the show with a quote that inspired me, and know it will for you too. This one is from Tory Burke, the star of today's Spotlight story. She said, "Remember, if the most unique ideas were obvious to everyone, there wouldn't be entrepreneurs. The only thing that every entrepreneurial journey has in common is that there are many, many steps on the road to success."